section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So, Impact officially cuts ties with GFW. Roger, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, GFW, Impact, TNA, whatever you want to call them, continues their descent into an irrelevant wrestling program. As they basically decided that, hey, Jeff Jarrett coming back and branding everything with GFW and naming all the titles to GFW and basically killing all of the Impact Wrestling storylines they built up for the 6 months so they could do that stupid unification at Slammiversary is over. His style didn't work, and you know we kind of knew he was leaving shortly, and I don't know what's wrong with them. Like, as a company, it's not like they have the talent they used to, but they still have enough talent that they shouldn't be this dysfunctional, and they're not even watchable. Like, you know, once upon a time, they were worth talking about, and now the only time we talk about them is when they do something stupid or, you know, there's news about being sold. I don't see them recovering. I said it before and I say it again. They remind me of late 2000s WCW. They're a train wreck. And while they have some good guys, I know Eli Drake is, I think now, what is it called? The Impact Heavy Championship or the Impact World Heavyweight Championship. Who knows what it's called this week?
Exactly. It keeps changing.
Bound for Glory is no longer a watchable event. I just don't care. And that's their flagship program. So if that doesn't mean anything, the rest of the shows just don't matter. And that is the perfect way to describe Impact Wrestling. It just doesn't matter.
That's the sad part, because if you look at Ring of Honor, a company that is slowly, I mean, they focused on VHS and DVD sales at first, and they slowly transitioned onto TV. It was the slow burn, and I think they're very successful, and they could do a two-hour program, and I think it would be very enjoyable. But yeah, you're right. What are they going to do now? Jeff Jarrett has screwed up so many things. Is this time for them to call it, or are they going to continue? We don't know at this time. Anyway, so let's talk about something that I know Doug really wants to talk about. Viral infections affecting the members of Raw, but not SmackDown. So, Doug, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm actually a little surprised that it didn't happen earlier or a bunch of times. Knowing how fast people can get infected from just even, I mean, look at a workplace anywhere else that you would work. If something goes around, everybody gets it. You're all involved in work. You're all going to get it. And sometimes things can put you out. I mean, imagine trying to go through all that stuff that that you would have to do in a wrestling ring and just, I mean, not even be able to make it through with a stomach flu or something like that. I can imagine. I'm surprised it hasn't happened more. You know, even sports teams, sometimes they'll go without a lot of players just because of something going on in the locker room. So it'll be interesting to see how they make up for it, because it really affected the pay-per-view, I thought.
And you were actually a wrestler at one point, and wasn't there like a couple that no matter what you would almost get as someone who is wrestling? Was it ringworm or
ringworm?
Yeah.
If one person got ringworm on the wrestling team, I will say this: I was a real wrestler. I wasn't no fake.
You weren't a pro. Pro wrestler?
I wasn't pro.
Scripted wrestler.
I
was a real wrestler. I'm not calling that amateur wrestling. That is real wrestling.
So what you're saying is you weren't an entertainer.
Right. Oh, I don't know. My matches were pretty entertaining. I usually pinned somebody in the first couple minutes, or I went all the way to the third period, so... It was a good match. I had a lot of good entertaining matches, a lot of good spotlight matches. I even remember one where I got to wink at my coach and he just laughed.
So you're and then I pinned the guy. Sports and your matches were entertaining, so you were a sports entertainer.
I was a real wrestler. Let's just leave it.
So the viral infection, and we've heard conflicting reports about it, but it has definitely... It definitely affected the pay-per-view. I actually will say I think it really improved the pay-per-view. We're going to talk about the Raw pay-per-view here in just a moment. But I really feel that going into that Sunday, I'd said to Roger I think, or maybe even everybody. I said I was not interested in the pay-per-view at all. Like, this was going to be the first one. I probably wasn't even going to watch that night, and I might have only watched highlights of it. I was so uninterested in that pay-per-view. But the moment that AJ and Finn were at it and that Kurt Angle is returning to the ring, that was a, oh, my goodness, this is now a, I need to see this. Maybe not live, but I could see it shortly after it aired. You know, like, it was a very exciting pay-per-view. So, and also it pushing back the Shield reunion may be a good thing, because it was, you know, we were getting ready for it and it was taken away from us. So now whenever the next Raw pay-per-view is, we may be even more excited to actually see the Shield take on another opponent, you know, 3-on-3.
Hey, Roger, do you think the real reason why Angle appeared that night and Roman Reigns was, because he was in quote unquote sick, do you think it's because he actually took a drug that he wasn't supposed to and he was going to get suspended for another 60 days?
Well, I didn't go to Rome, so unfortunately, I don't think he was suspended again. To really go off of Aaron's point, though, up until Friday, that was an unwatchable card. It was, we all had the same predictions. Nothing was interesting. And then it's strange that the best booking they could have done was getting sick. Like, we finally found something that Roman had to put over, and it was a viral infection, and it actually kept him down. And oh my gosh, Kurt Angle comes back. Now I'm interested. Oh wait, Bray Wyatt's gone. And I like Bray Wyatt, but Sister Abigail, God, that's stupid. Oh, look at that. A viral infection kept her down. And now we get AJ versus Finn. Now I care. Like, that made that pay-per-view 10 times more watchable than it ever was. And it was interesting. We were split on our picks. It says something about how bad that pay-per-view was, that the best thing that happened to it was a viral infection. That is a sad state of affairs when a virus is a better booking than your actual company. Like, I don't even know what to say to that.
And our picks, too. I remember Doug had done his, and I did not look at Doug's because I thought, you know what? I want to do it as, you know, kind of bare bones as possible. So I went and I just picked mine. And I looked back up and I was like, oh, I picked the exact same as Doug. Who would have thunk it?
You know, you guys were just talking about, of course, the Shield that they were supposed to reunite, but unfortunately they didn't. But, you know, they did fight Miz and his crew at TLC. And the one thing that I was really shocked is that Kurt Angle, during this match, Kurt Angle was protected. Like, I'm so surprised that he was this protected. But he only took, like, 5 bumps, I think, the entire time that he was in the ring. And that was it. And he took some light chair shots and some light throws into things, but overall I was actually really happy about it. But you know, like, we got the information on Friday, which actually is sad because you'd think that they would want to promote it at least a week or two prior to that. But Aaron, what were your thoughts on the Shield in quotes reunion?
I was a little excited about it. I think I had said on our show that I thought that they did break up a little prematurely, you know, maybe like a few months before they probably should have. However, though, it was probably one of the more intriguing storylines that WWE had for the next year was Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose, basically. And you had that going for a good year and a half. And with a reunion, you want it to be something very special. It does feel a little forced or maybe a little shoehorned, but it's not terrible. You know, it's not to the point where I'm saying, oh my God, I can't believe we're doing this, but it does feel a little disingenuous, almost like they are trying to get Roman to be liked because of the other two. Like, they will help make him a little more liked. I was a little excited to see the TLC match until they added Braun Strowman to it and until they added Kane. I thought that those were unnecessary additions to it. It should have just been a traditional 3-on-3. I would have been totally fine with that. With Reigns coming out, though, Kurt Angle, and to your point, Andy, you know, he was very protected. I actually was thinking that he was going to get attacked backstage and then they would be, you know, 2-on-5 for a while and then Angle would come out and clear a house. But they did that, you know, kind of, you know, with Angle getting taken out partway through the match. But as far as the Shield goes, like I had said earlier, I think when they actually do come together and it is a 3-on-3 match or, you know, some match that they do have, I think that people will be behind it. I am kind of wondering what they're going to do, though, leading up to WrestleMania, because if they are doing a reunion, there is the thought, oh, well, they're going to have a breakup right before WrestleMania so that way we can have a really good match. But I think that would be a big mistake, because you don't bring them back together and then break them up 3 months later And then what are you going to do? You're going to try to have another reunion 3 months after that, or you know, even a year after that, or whatever it's going to be. It's not going to work as well, you know?
I was actually thinking that the reunion itself was a little bit, I thought, a little too quick and too forced into it. It was just one of those things. I think they should have set it up and had a little bit of a longer run on it, on whether or not they were going to get back together, why they would even get back together. But it seemed just like, okay, one Raw, and now all of a sudden, hey, look, everybody's back together. Great. I didn't care about them coming back together. And to Aaron's, like he said, it really seems like they're just trying to do whatever they can to get Roman to be cheered. And if it means Roman being with the other two to get cheers, so be it. But at the same time, it is going to be one of those things where they're going to break up again, and everybody sees it already. And we're all, I think, predicting probably it's going to be Dean Ambrose this time that breaks them up. And I mean, how quick is that going to be? How are they going to screw up this storyline? Putting them up against the Miz and the, you know, and this kind of goes back into same old stuff again. It's the Shield versus the Bar. It's the Shield versus the Bar again and again and again. We just want to add one little thing. Oh, we're going to add the Miz this time. The Miz can go with him, and then we'll add Roman Reigns. And it's like that. The storylines do not make sense. They're not entertaining. And I feel bad for Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, who are great wrestlers and great in their own right. And they're great as a tag team, but now they've got to carry Roman Reigns and trying to put over something that has been done over and over again by fighting the same team over and over again. So I was not looking forward to this match. When Roman went out sick, I didn't care. I was like, oh, what are they going to do? 5-on-2? And then it's like, oh, Angle's going to be there? Great. Great hype. Why is he even going in there? For what storyline purpose does this evolve anything? And it really does seem like it's just a one-off thing. And the only thing I liked out of this was Miz's promos was excellent, saying that, you know, Kurt Angle would have never done this if, you know, Kane was sick or if Braun Strowman was sick. He's only doing this because, you know, it's Roman Reigns and he wants the spotlight. The only person I think that came out of this looking better was The Miz, and he's the one that took the pin.
So when the Authority kind of like were the catalyst for breaking up the Shield, so it would have made sense if the Shield had reunited to fight Triple H last year. You had Hunter and you know, all of his goons, and it would make sense that that was some overwhelming force that Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns couldn't overcome. Instead, they reunited to stop the unstoppable force of The Miz and The Bar. This was the big thing that needed the Hounds of Justice to come back and return. Like, it just... That's stupid. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. There was no reason for them to get back. I didn't care. It wasn't a special moment to me. Like, ooh, the Shield came back. I saw them 3 years ago, and they came back to do nothing. Nothing of value. It was just like, I don't know. This was a wasted moment and a wasted opportunity. I like the TLC match. I'm glad Angle came back. It did make sense, and Miz was totally right. I have zero issue about what they did when putting Angle in. But Miz is totally right, and I'm glad that he said it. Like, you would not have done this for Kane, and you wouldn't have done this for Braun Strowman. And the other problem is that, like, for a TLC match, it wasn't really a ladder match. It was just a hardcore match. And fair part of that is that some of the people couldn't take those spots, but it was like, couldn't that moment have been saved for something better? Couldn't they have come together for the Rumble or come together because they were getting destroyed, not just come together for Miz and the Bar? I don't know. If they're all about creating moments, this was not a moment. This was a total wasted opportunity. When DX came back, it was a big deal and it was cool. When, you know, when you see legendary teams get back together, it's like, oh, the Hardy Boys came back. That was really cool. The Shield came back. Oh, they're not just rumors. Oh, look at that. Roman's cool. He brought back the Shield. It's so obviously an attempt to get Roman over. And I don't even think they're going to do a heel turn. I think they're just going to probably draft Seth Rollins over to SmackDown with just, oh, the Shield's done. Stupid. It's just no matter what they do, and I don't care what they want to try with the Shield and put him in DX and have Shawn Michaels raise his hand and call him the greatest superstar of all time, I'm still going to boo him. Accept it and get it over it, Vince, because it ain't changing. arrive, punch, get booed. That could be your t-shirt, because that's what's going to happen.
I see now, a t-shirt
forever
coming out.
And always.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that happened at the TLC pay-per-view, I mean, there's other matches, but, you know, they're there. But the other one that was big that I was shocked about was AJ Styles took on Finn Balor. And it's all because, of course, going back to what happened with the viral infection, Bray got really, really sick. So AJ stepped in. And I have to say, this could potentially be, this might be match of the year to me. I was shocked, and I was there the entire time. Roger, I want your thoughts on this one.
I mean, it was not match of the year. It was a good match. But I don't think it really comes up to the standard that Okada and Omega have set, or the standard even Cena and AJ had back at the Rumble. Like, it was a fine match. It was fantastic for what it was on a really bad pay-per-view, but it was not a classic. It's not even the best match those two are capable of. It's probably not even the best match AJ had this year. I don't even think it's close. Having said that, fun match. Could have been better built. I mean, granted, I get that they only had 2 days, but I think you could have, you know, done something about, like, hey, I'm stepping in and I just want to see which one of us is better. We've never really had the opportunity to go at each other. You know, they were both in the same group overseas. You know, they could have just said the club if they wanted to. But look, this was a smart move. The only thing I guess I'm a little bit disappointed about is I don't think we get to see this match on a bigger stage again, because, you know, oh, we've already done this match, so we don't need to do it again. Yeah, but I had no problems with it. It was by far the best thing about TLC. As a matter of fact, it was the only probably really good match at TLC.
It needed something. It needed some other aspect to it. You know, the pay-per-view is called TLC for tables, ladders, and chairs. Did we have a ladder match? Did we have a chair match? Did we have a tables match? None of this. We had absolutely none of this. This was a B-rated Raw for all intents and purposes. You could have thrown something in there just for fun. Hey, these are two high flyers. Let's put them in a ladder match. Why? Why not? You know, it really didn't – I mean – honestly, I love AJ Styles. I love Finn Balor. I was looking forward to this match. It was a good match. But then the whole time I was watching it, I was like, what is the point of this match, though? Where's the hype? What's the payoff? What is the selling point other than here are two really good wrestlers who are going to put on a very entertaining match, which it was. It was a very entertaining match. But when you look at the end of it, Who's going to be better for winning this match? Should they have even had a winner of this match? What money are you losing by Finn going over AJ? What are you losing? Are you putting Finn over more, higher up? You know, is he going to get a push that he should get because he was the first Universal Champion? I mean, that kind of got cut off on Raw, but it didn't establish anything. So while it was a very entertaining match, and I'm not going to say match of the year, because I still think match of the year needs to have some kind of hype, some kind of potential, a payoff. But it was a very good match. It's just one of those things. Is like, I don't care to see this one again unless there's going to be something relevant to it. They got together. They had the whole little, you know, too sweet moment. But other than that, I thought pointless.
Yeah, I think that Dunn Bate is probably the best WWE match so far this year, in my opinion. The one at TakeOver Chicago. This was a good match. I was very happy to see it. I thought AJ was going to win. I thought maybe they'd give a little bit of a rub to SmackDown, especially going into Survivor Series, since SmackDown will get, you know, beat on almost all the fronts. However, though, I agree with all your guys' points. I almost would have rather seen this even be a tables match and have, you know, a table spot that gets the win. You know, just some like random thing, like the way that Sheamus beat Cena for his first WWE title, something like that, where, oh, he got the win, but it could have gone the other way. You know, this instead was a very definitive Finn beat AJ. It was a very good match, and if they do have a trilogy, I'd be curious who they actually will have come out on top. I also agree that I don't think this will get a WrestleMania match. This could potentially get a Royal Rumble match, or if they end up on the same brand together, maybe they could get something really special. I don't know what's going to happen, though, because we're not going to see a brand split, or we're not going to see the shuffle up for another 6 months or so. But that might be a good thing, though, because WWE, we criticize them all the time about this. They will have the same match over and over and over again, and we it's forced down our throats. So hopefully this could be an occasion very similar to Okada and Omega, where they had a trilogy, but that was over 6-7 months. You know, it was a very long, drawn out process where you got to see three really good matches, and even the third one wasn't even for the title. You know, the first two were. This could be a good situation here where you have, two matches, and then the third is actually for the title. It could be a really good situation that way. We will see what happens. I was very happy, though, with the match, and definitely match of the night, but in my opinion, not match of the year.
All right. So now that we've talked about Raw, let's move over to SmackDown. So right now, one thing we need to talk about is the tag titles, because the Usos, they won it back at Hell in the Cell. And for actually a really good match that was actually in a Hell of a Cell, which I'm curious on your thoughts on this match, Aaron. What did you think about it overall when everything was all said and done? Do you think that match belonged in the Hell in the Cell?
They were trying to put an end to the feud, and the Hell in a Cell match is supposed to be a feud ender. And what we're going to talk about in a little bit with KO and Shane was a feud starter, basically. But this was, I think that this was worthy of being in the Cell. They probably had one of the better Hell in a Cell matches I've seen in a long time, because both tag teams, it felt like it was a blood feud. It felt like these guys were out to get the other one. They did some very innovative stuff in the Cell as well. I actually really liked watching these two go at it. And as I had literally just mentioned, unfortunately, WWE puts these matches on and they just like over and over and over again. We saw and I like them, but we saw these guys face off on three pay-per-views and also on the SmackDowns in between those pay-per-views, and not just on one-on-ones, but we saw them in tag team action on those pay-per-views, which we don't need to see. This goes back to the, too much of a good thing can be bad. You can only have so much ice cream for dinner, all right, and lunch and breakfast, and then it's not very good for you. Similar to this, I'm glad that they have ended the feud. I'm glad that they're moving on to bigger and better things. You know, maybe in a couple of years they can come back around and kind of do slow burns with it. But I do think that the Usos winning here was a good thing, even though I think I originally picked New Day to retain.
So what are they going to do what are the Usos going to do next, though, Aaron?
Well, Usos are going to be taking on the world's greatest American Alpha tag team, and we're going to see what happens there. My guess is that they're going to retain, Usos. They're going to be taking them on a SmackDown. So, a Survivor Series, they're taking on Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. So obviously that's not a title v title match. So it'll be at the next pay-per-view where they'll potentially could drop it. And that's a Clash of Champions in December.
I also had picked the New Day to win this just because of the fact that I was hoping that this would be the end. And I mean, technically, with all intents and purposes, whatever happened to the guaranteed rematch after you lose your belt? So I was a little upset due to the fact that, again, I was like, all right, the Usos won. It was a very good match. Love the match. Very entertaining. They utilized the Hell in a Cell. But I was done with them watching them do this a while ago. The fact that they faced off against each other so many times, it was ridiculous. And the tag titles themselves kept flipping, 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 flipping. I mean, you almost want to call them the Big Show titles now. It's just
too far. Too far.
Too far on that one.
Too far.
That was pretty good. So many turns. But I was done with this feud a while ago. I'm glad that they actually ended the feud. And hopefully I wouldn't mind seeing them going up against each other again later down the road. But this was just too much too often. Overall, though, still one of the best matches at Hell in a Cell. So very entertaining match. I'm excited the Usos do have the titles. They're very good with the titles. I'll be interested to see what they do next.
I mean, I really echo all of your guys' thoughts. I thought this was a fantastic match. This was a match that was built with the idea of it being in a Hell in a Cell. It wasn't just a regular match that didn't belong in Hell in a Cell, for example. It made sense to be in there. They fought like it. There was a lot of brutality. I mean, I thought some of their spots were simple but vicious. You know, tying Xavier up and just beating him with a kendo stick was like, it was, you cringed for the right reasons. It was like, oh God, that has to hurt. Really, my complaint is kind of like what Aaron said. There's too much of a good thing. If this is match number three, this is perfect. If you just show the Battleground match, the SummerSlam match, and then this is fantastic. But doing all those matches in between was like, gosh, you just too much. I'm glad they're done. I want to see them each wrestle different teams. You know, SmackDown's tag division is significantly better than Raw's. It's not even close. I mean, I don't even know what the tag division on Raw is. We've said this 100 times. But right now, both of these teams can go different directions. I'm excited to see the World's Greatest Alphas face off against the Usos, who've done a great job after going heel. You know, despite that whole complaint you hear about, oh, you always want everybody to turn heel. There's no one who can logically say the Usos have not been significantly better off without going heel. I mean, they've rejuvenated their character, so good for them. Let's see where this goes. But I think this division going forward is quite strong, and I think they can do a lot of good things. So let's just hope they don't mess it up. And to be honest, SmackDown has done enough things where I have faith in their writing staff to keep their division going.
Even though the new U.S. champion is Baron Corbin, who is I would say he's more that Jinder Mahal might be more talented than Baron Corbin.
No,
that is the dumbest thing you have ever said in your life. Let me tell you the things that Jinder Mahal does well. End of list. So Baron Corbin has his issues, but we all admitted a couple months ago that he has improved tremendously over the past year, and he's continuing to improve. He's a good bully. I don't think he necessarily needs to be the U.S. champion right now, but I'm not mad at him for being a U.S. champion. I'm more mad that they wasted his Money in the Bank push. But, Corbin is a fine mid-carder. If I were to say, hey, here's this Baron Corbin guy, I'm going to push him into mid-card, I have no problem with that. Where you start to have issues is that when you expect him to go 20 minutes in the main event and carry the flagship of your show, that's where I think he lacks talent. If you're going to put him in triple threats with talented wrestlers and just have him be the guy that shows up and does the end of days, he can do that. I mean, that he's fine in that role. I won't even get an agenda right now.
I was trying to get you to get into him.
I know what you were trying to do. Yes. I'm going to save that rant for later in the show.
And Doug, what do you think about this? Because also the one thing to point out is that Baron Corbin won it, but AJ is he's not even going back for the title. So do you think that they're going to try and bring AJ back to it, or do you think he's going on to a different title?
I don't even know if SmackDown knows what they're doing with AJ. I was happy that when Baron won it, because sure, you know, at least give him that title. You screwed him over on the Money in the Bank, but and I was kind of hoping that too, that AJ would go to the main event status or a new feud. I was looking forward to seeing what he would do with it. But I kind of like the AJ Styles open challenge. You know, that was exciting. It was going to be, you know, I know Cena did it too. But that was exciting time for the U.S. title. It built it up. And I don't think we got enough of that. I think AJ should have held on to the title for a little bit longer. But now we're going to get to see Bully Baron and what he's going to do with the title, which I don't think is going to be very, very much. AJ hopefully will get something. I know it was teased that he was going to face Jinder Mahal, but looking at the fact that they didn't even let Nakamura beat him, is this going to be just something that they're going to try to do because and build up Jinder as their ultimate champion? You know, like they're throwing him wins and trying to build him up to be a legitimate champion. No one's buying it, and I don't want to see that happen to AJ.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question? Because I've been thinking about this for the longest time, and we talked about this last time about Jinder. Is it possible that the entire reason that they're doing this Lesnar versus Jinder thing is that Jinder gets the win and they switch shows? And that you essentially say that, like, he is the guy that we think can get Roman cheered. And we're going to say we're going to put Roman over Jinder in the main event of the WWE Championship on Raw, and then Brock is on SmackDown.
Oh, gosh. I hope that's not the case, because I think what would happen is you'd see more people stand up and then walk out to go do something else. Even if it's the main event, they'll just go do whatever. They're like, well, 205 will start here later. We'll just come back for that. I think that's actually what would happen. I think there would be too many people that are angered by that. I'm okay with Brock Lesnar coming to SmackDown, but I'm not okay with the gender going over. There's no way I'd be okay with that.
I agree. And also on top of that, I think with Brock Lesnar, we know that there's a couple people on Raw that can beat him. On SmackDown, not as much. You know, while I think him and AJ could put on a good match, it'd be very hard to convincingly believe AJ could beat him in a just straight up fight. He's much smaller than somebody like a CM Punk, and I don't know if that would be the best thing to do. One of the things that I do think might happen, this has been something that has been rumored, is in the match where it's Jinder versus Brock, with Cena maybe the guest referee, and that he may cause Jinder the match, setting up Cena versus Jinder at a Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, and then Cena can get his 17th title.
Okay.
Well, with Cena being a free agent, you can still do that match on SmackDown if you want to as well. You can just have Cena versus Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that Cena would stay on SmackDown, or he would go back to SmackDown or whatever, and then he would wrestle him at Royal Rumble or WrestleMania.
Doug?
No, don't want to. WWE has dug themselves so far in a hole that there's no way that they can get out of this any way, shape, or form without upsetting a majority probably of the fans. When I first heard that this match was going to even take place, I think they really should have just said, go ahead and make it a 3-on-1. Make it Jinder and the Singhs versus Brock Lesnar. And still, you should have Brock Lesnar squash Jinder Mahal. The more and more I watch of this, the more and more I look at this, and more I see what WWE isn't doing, I am very, very fearful that they're going to try to pull some kind of swerve and troll everybody by letting Jinder win. And I'm almost afraid that they're going to let him do it straight up. I just have that gut-wrench fear, because when Paul Heyman came out and did another great promo, and I love the fact that he said, you know what, he praised all the people that Brock Lesnar has faced, you know, from Goldberg and Samoa Joe and even Braun Strowman. He praised them for going up against Brock Lesnar. And when he said that Jinder's a joke, it's like, oh, no, they're going to try to make it so that Jinder's not a joke. This is horrible. This is going to be bad, 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 bad. I am so fearful of what they're going to even try to set up, do, or anything like that. I have no faith in the WWE creative or anything. And I think this is just a horrible, horrible step towards or just the next step of me actually canceling the network. I'm getting close. I'm getting fed up with WWE and everything they're doing. This has been just one bad deed after another. The fact that Jinder is your champion to begin with, and the fact that he's still the champion, it really is pushing me away from watching WWE.
So, Aaron, going back to the Baron Corbin, do you think that they'll continue to do something with him being the U.S. champ or with AJ?
Baron, I think with the U.S. title, I think he definitely devalues it, especially seeing how AJ was the one that held it, Kevin Owens before that, Chris Jericho, and then Baron Corbin. And I know that they're trying to get him to be a monster heel, so this is an opportunity for them if he does kind of take out some of the lower card faces and even tweeners. That would be a good idea for him. However, I know that it's WWE, so they're probably going to push him way too hard, way too fast, and not let it build up over time. As far as AJ goes, we've obviously seen him already move on to bigger and better things. He had a rematch and immediately just forgot about the U.S. title, which is fine. You know, he has his sights set on the world title, you know, on the WWE title. And that's the way it should be. He is focused on that. And, you know, he called out Jinder, said, look, I don't care about Brock Lesnar. I'm talking about right now. I want you. And this is a really good thing, because now Jinder has two opponents, and this is actually intricate storytelling. Some WWE does not do very well. And I like that. I hope that they do focus on him and AJ, and they have a feud that's going into Survivor Series. AJ's probably going to be on the 5-on-5 men's, and that's fine. However, though, as far as Jinder goes, Jinder's going to be set on Brock Lesnar. if they decide to do something at Clash of Champions, you let AJ win the title there. I think that might not be the best place for it. Could do a Royal Rumble or even a WrestleMania. But I do think that AJ winning the title actually would be a good thing. But you do have to have a really good chase leading up to it. And if WWE plays their cards right, you could have AJ defeating Jinder at WrestleMania, getting a huge pop from the Louisiana crowd. I mean, it's in the South, place that AJ does very well at. It's maybe not Georgia, but he still does pretty well in the South. And, you know, everyone likes AJ. So that's a way you can get him over, by defeating somebody that people do not like, and that's Jinder Mahal.
You know, one thing you do bring up, an interesting thing about what they could be doing. But the one thing I was actually going to ask you, do you think that they may then set up Finn and AJ for Survivor Series, or do you think that they're going to tease it at Survivor Series and then they'll do it at Royal Rumble?
My guess is they would tease it. That's what I would do.
Okay, so what would WWE do?
Never come back to it again?
Yeah.
I think they'll tease it, but they don't have to necessarily do it.
I don't think AJ and Finn are in the cards. Like, I know Meltzer said that. I think this is purely a reactionary thing. I don't think there's anything further with them, to be quite honest. As disappointing as it is, I wouldn't be surprised if it's never made mention of again. I mean, it was a clean finish. Usually when WWE is coming back to something, it's not a clean finish. It was definitive that Finn beat AJ. No questions about it. No problem with it, but it's done. I mean, did they even mention it on Raw or SmackDown? Didn't Finn lose to Kane cleanly?
Yep.
Yeah. So if there was something going forward, that would have been something where AJ maybe interferes. But it was literally just, okay, one and done. We're done here.
I think that might be a mistake. But let's talk about Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. They put on a great match at Hell in a Cell, almost 40 minutes long and very entertaining. Aaron, what did you think about the match itself? I mean, again, we know that Shane's going to do one spot and he keeps doing it every year. But besides that part of it, what were your thoughts on the match?
Very similar to when we saw Shane versus Undertaker. The match is not, it's not a classic match. It's not the one where you're going to be like, oh, I can't wait to see this again. You're watching it for a couple spots and that's it. You know, Shane versus Undertaker at WrestleMania, we will only remember one thing, you know, realistically, and that's him jumping off the cell. We might remember a couple of very minor things, but that's the big thing. Same thing here. We're going to remember Shane jumping off the cell. The match itself, too long. There were some really good drama moments, especially when we thought that, you know, KO was going to jump off. That was a really smart thing. It was really good. However, though, it was just too long of a match. You know, it wasn't a classic. And yeah, I've rewatched him jumping off the cell multiple times, but that's the only thing, you know, and the man's father is a billionaire right now. I don't know if he really needs to be jumping off a cell like that and putting his body in that much of harm's way. I understand that they, you know, rig the table and everything. They try to make it as safe as possible, but it's still like you're jumping 20, 30 feet, you know, like right on your back, but you're still like, you could hurt yourself. You know, one.
I'm sure Triple H disagrees with you.
Yeah. Triple H is like, no. He needs to go up to the three tier.
Yeah.
Small ladder. That table's too big.
Yeah, put a ladder up there. Jump from the ladder on the cell onto the table. It'll be on the floor this time.
Now, but Aaron, you did bring something up with that. I actually was a little disappointed because I was told that if you are on top of the Hell in the Cell and they go through a certain part of the cell and it hits
this
the
is not Day of Reckoning. Let that go.
Oh, crap. I thought it was. Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought it was an entertaining match. It was the spectacle that it was supposed to be or hyped up to be. I thought KO did a wonderful job in setting up a few things and making it look good. And the fact that he thought about jumping off but then decides not to, it was a good storytelling match. All the way even up to the end when Sammy saves him and leading up to it, it made me excited to watch SmackDown the next night. It was an entertaining, like I said, it's entertaining, and that's about all I can say. The match itself, like I said, it is the spot fest. It is everything that we expected it to be. And I think it still sets up for a good storyline later on that they can keep going on and on with this. Probably until Roman or Royal Rumble or even WrestleMania.
Oh, you said it right, Roman Rumble. Well, I just call it what it
Roman
is.
Roman Rumble, yeah. Yeah, right now.
So I'm going to say that we can thank Doug for everything that happened. And the reason is that back when we did the Money in the Bank, I asked, you know, Mr. Money in the Bank predictor, who would be the next guy to win Money in the Bank? Doug said Sami Zayn. Now, at the time, that was ridiculous. After the events of Hell in a Cell, where Sami Zayn actually has a character, and now main events, SmackDown on a weekly basis, it is plausible that Sami Zayn could win the Money in the Bank briefcase now. He could be the guy who wins the briefcase. Even if he doesn't win the championship, he's now relevant. So first off, thank you, Doug. second, I mean, I didn't have much high expectations going into this match. I mean, Shane McMahon doesn't put on great matches. He puts on spot fest. His best match was with AJ Styles, and let's be real, AJ Styles could carry any of us to a three-star match. It just is what it is. The match was too long. It probably should have been half as long. The spot was what it was. I mean, I think we're all a little bit jaded justifiably because we saw it live. And so seeing it live, it really shows how crazy of a spot it is as opposed to seeing it on television. It's like, oh, yeah, been there, seen that. Still cool. But the thing that we will remember was this is the moment that Sami Zayn got a character. This is probably the thing that saved Sami Zayn from being a career jobber because now he's interesting. And really, the only thing to talk about this is that they redid the friendship storyline with the guy who he originally turned on. And they're the two most interesting things a part of SmackDown. Like, I'm very curious to see, does Kevin Owens turn on Sami eventually? Does Sami turn on Kevin Owens eventually and flip the script? And do you try to make Kevin Owens sympathetic? Do they never turn on one another? And just have this mutual understanding of, yeah, we're both bad guys. And maybe in a championship match, they'll just both try to screw each other over because the idea is that we're just both bad guys who are looking out for ourselves. There's a lot of different ways this can go. So the match accomplished what it needed to. It made Sami Zayn interesting. And for that, I'm glad. However, I'm done with the Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens storyline. I want to see Shane McMahon versus Daniel Bryan storyline. That to me is far more interesting that maybe Sami wasn't as wrong as we thought. Maybe Shane is more selfish and a glory hog than he's admitted. Or maybe other superstars will be like, yeah, he kind of lied to us too and promised us a bill of goods. And maybe this land of opportunity isn't as truthful as it sounds. There's some story there. And if they're smart and they play this right, it could be interesting long term. Maybe Bryan has to fight the authority figure in Shane McMahon. Like we, you know, maybe Shane's more like his dad than we realize.
Roger, you gave me an idea. Hypothetically, what if this is the long term booking? Sami does win Money in the Bank, but Owens is the champion at that time, and they start teasing that basically Zayn's going to cash in on him. Do you think they would?
That's fantastic. I would love that. I would love to see, or like, I would even love you seeing storylines where Kevin Owens is trying to say, hey, Sami, just hold on. And if I lose, then you cash in. Where he's just trying to convince Sami. And Sami even maybe plays along and goes, yeah, okay, buddy, I got you. But in reality, he's plotting his best opportunity to cash in the championship. And maybe you have him actually screw over Owens where, oh, he says that, like, you were basically about to get beat by Cena anyway. So I just cashed in so that the championship could stay with us. And you have a bitter and jealous Kevin Owens now being the sidekick, like what Jericho was. And so he tries to call it our championship, where Sami's like, no, no, this is my championship. Like, you have a lot of different ways that this story could go. And that, I mean, that would be super interesting to see Owens just progressively get angrier and angrier and angrier. And then only for Sami Zayn to turn on him. Like, it would be so good if they did it well. Like, a well-done storyline between these two is exactly what Sami Zayn. And let's just say that, like, Sami's character hasn't changed. And that's what I love about it. Now he's just a little bit more obnoxious. But, like, we were there. I honestly challenge anyone to tell me a promo, a spot in his promo that wasn't logical or made sense or even sounded truthful. He came over to SmackDown like we all wanted and basically got no opportunities. He got screwed over by Jinder Mahal in that Fatal 5-Way, and that was it. I don't think he's had a shot at the U.S. Championship. Maybe he got one in the Open Challenge. I don't think he was given any tag team title shots. Basically never got a chance to compete in the Rumble. Was he even at SummerSlam?
That's a good question.
What's the last pay-per-view he wrestled at?
I don't know, but one of his last feuds, he lost to Aiden English.
Yeah. The guy who's essentially a perennial jobber was beating Sami Zayn. Like, he was so justified in this heel turn that I love every single aspect of it. And I hope they don't turn him into the, like, sniveling, always has to lose heel. Like, I want him to still be the dancing jerk with the same music who goes, I tried it your way, it didn't work, now I'm trying it my way. And Kevin Owens is right the whole time, which is what Kevin Owens has really been saying the entire time. You have to look out for yourself. Now Sami Zayn is out for himself. Well done. Well done. Like, good continuity. This is what I wish Raw actually did. Continuity.
Your problem, though, is that phrase of long-term planning. It's WWE. We can't think long-term. We got to think week to week. These are all great ideas. This would be wonderful booking, but we're not in charge. Not what they do. Listen, but they're not going to, again, long-term booking. It's not going to happen.
The only way they're going to listen is if you walk out. AKA Neville.
I will say there is – Owens has seemingly gotten long-term storylines. I don't know whose ear in the company he has. But, I mean, him and Jericho are essentially allowed to do the long-term storyline for 6 months.
That is true. Kevin Owens' storyline – and that's one of the things I've loved about Kevin Owens is his rivals or whatever he's doing, I've always been interested in, especially on SmackDown and everything like that. You got to think that he's with Triple H somewhere. I mean, every time you've looked at a picture of him, he's usually with Triple H. When he was in NXT, he got the title because of Triple H and everything else along those lines. I'm still interested to see if they even go back to the fact that Triple H told him something, and that's when he turned on Y2J. Like, they've never went into that whatsoever. What was said? How did this end? They forget about the good things that what happened. And they just they go away from it.
You know, you pointed something out. You said, what does Owens have? I actually think I started noticing something recently. Have you noticed that his gear changes about every other month? And it's all that gear's there and then it's gone. I believe that he's actually selling a lot of merchandise. And that's why he keeps getting pushed. Because remember, Cena, when he started selling the merchandise, all of a sudden he started getting pushed. And I think that's the thing with Owens. And plus, I think that Owens is money. And I think that with Sammy probably had steady sales, but they needed to do something with him because he's wasted talent like Neville, and you don't want, you know, Zayn to walk out. But yeah, that's what I think the real reason is. You know, one thing to point out also, Aaron and Roger went to a SmackDown as well. And what did you think about what you saw live, Roger?
It reinforced everything I thought about SmackDown, which is it is a good, tight 2-hour show. You know, we looked up, we had good seats, and at one point we were like, wow, we're at the main event. Like, every segment made sense. Not everybody was on the show. I was disappointed that we didn't get to see New Day live, but they had a segment. We got to see the Breezangos. It seems like there's a purpose with the people who were on SmackDown. They aren't just out there wrestling matches for the sake of wrestling matches. Things go from week to week. You have feuds that are continuing, even if they're not the greatest feuds. Like, not like Rude Ziggler is going to be anything we talk about in a few years, but it's continuous, and it makes sense. The tag teams, the matches make sense. It's like watching – I don't want to say NXT, but like it's watching how you would expect NXT to be done on the main roster, and it's entertaining. And, you know, watching like Randy Orton live, you really get to appreciate the charisma that he has. You know, I think he's much better in person than he comes off sometimes on television. Watching Kevin Owens is a masterclass in how to troll. Like, I mean, just little things that he does that you may not notice, clapping in guys' faces, yelling at the crowd. I mean, Sami Zayn plays a heel better than I ever would have anticipated. I mean, it's a good show, and it's entertaining. If Jinder Mahal never, ever, ever showed up on SmackDown again, it can be perfect. It's just he sucks the life out of the building other than, yeah, he gets his boos for anti-America because idiots love to chant USA till the cows come home. So that will always work for him. But I really enjoyed it, like, to be quite honest. Like, I'm not going to say Raw needs to ever go down to 2 hours because they won't because of money. But, man, a 2-hour show is so much more entertaining than hour three. It is what it is. Pay-per-views are the only thing that can be 3 hours. And really, even then, TakeOver is 2.5 hours. And that's the sweet spot to me. So we'll see.
Yeah, I definitely echo Roger's sentiments there. And, you know, we paid, it was like $120 or whatever for our seats. We were 4 rows back. You can see us on TV a couple of times. I mean, we had really good seats. And it was worth it, too. And we were entertained. Like, we got our money's worth, for sure, for what we paid for. And, you know, it was one of those things where I think that, you know, when they come back, you know, I'm more than happy to pay for these shows. But, you know, 2 hours, you know, the 205 live was after that. I think we're both kind of like, hey, you know what? I'm kind of good. You know, we can just go. You know, I'm fine with just leaving. And we did, you know, and 205 live, you know, was a fine show. But, you know, I was OK with just seeing what we needed to see and moving on from there. And, you know, with the Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon storyline, they were able to further that along in the right way. You know, I felt like, yeah, we saw like kind of a middle issue of a comic, but it was a good middle issue. You know, it wasn't just a filler story, and seeing it live was even better.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you guys got to go, and I'm glad you guys are that close, which is always nice as well. And was there a dark match afterwards?
There was, but we skipped it, unfortunately, okay. Because they make you wait till the end of 205 Live to see it.
So you guys saw Jinder, right?
We got to see him once, yes.
Did Roger leave?
Roger, were you even there for him?
I went to go get food, I think, when Jinder was out. I literally defer my time even in real life because he makes me that sick. I would rather go stand in the concession stands and talk to the people so I can get my food than watch that fraudulent champion come out there and parade around and pretend to be anything more than garbage. If I could have, I should have called Doug and let him take my seat for that 30 minutes because I would have deferred my time to Doug to watch that, and I would have happily stood outside in protest. I really should have brought a sign that said, "Not my champion." It would have been perfect.
All right, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free set builder and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big from items from WWEShop.com. So, Survivor Series. This is something that's going to be have. We already have the world titles going at it, but then we also have the women's titles going at it. We have Natty versus Alexa. Roger, what do you think is going to be the outcome of this?
I think the outcome is going to be I'm not going to watch. It's two heels. Natty is a solid wrestler, but she's not good enough to carry someone to a great match. And Alexa is not that good in the ring. I don't really know who the crowd's going to cheer for. Is Survivor Series in like Toronto this year again? Like something about this match doesn't seem to make sense. So unless there's a title change coming, I don't understand why they're going with Alexa versus Natty.
I think it's in Houston.
Yeah, it's in Houston.
So neither one of them have like some sort of hometown affiliation. I mean, it's just This is not a good. Honestly, this Survivor Series card looks bad. Like just top to bottom to me, it does not look bad. This women, there's maybe one match I'm interested in. Maybe the 5-on-5 will be good. Last year's was pretty good, but I am baffled when you consider that like the matchups you could have. You know, you could have some way better matchups if Charlotte or Becky Lynch were champion. You had Becky versus Sasha if they were both champions. That's a fun match. I mean, you know, Becky versus Bayley could be a really fun match. It's not something we've seen on the main roster. Not that Bayley's always been built up. Nia Jax obviously is out of the picture, but that could have been more interesting if you had Nia Jax versus somebody. But like Alexa versus Natalya is nobody's dream match. And who cares? Like, why do this match? Just put them both in the 5-on-5 match. That makes way more sense. The only thing I can see out of this is Carmella cashing in to make this potentially interesting, but it's like, other than that, I just could not care less.
Well, do you think she cashes in on Natty or Alexa?
She can't cash in on Alexa, but maybe they'll build up a storyline of Alexa working with Carmella to like, you know, hey, help me beat her down so you can cash in and become champion. I mean, it's just, it's really weird. I have not seen anything that says that this is going to be anything more than a refreshment break. This is terrible sounding to me. Like, I don't understand it at all. I'm legitimately baffled when they said, hey, let's announce Alexa versus Natty. And they thought people will be interested in this.
I think you guys keep calling this by the wrong pay-per-view name. I believe this is called Night of Champions. because if you're going to have every champion going at it against each other, I think you should call it Night of Champions, not Survivor Series. This does with them both being heels and them both being not necessarily the top of the food chain, I guess, in even their respective divisions. Do you see either one of them possibly losing their title before the pay-per-view. And I mean, even looking at the other matches that we're going to have, since it's going to be title versus title of everything, is there a chance that somebody loses their title before, so it becomes a new person versus another person?
Yeah, I mean, they're both heels, so there's a chance we might see a face.
I feel like you have to. Like, this match just is terrible on paper. And to me, the problem is that I don't know which, really, other than like Becky Lynch and Charlotte and Sasha, you haven't built much. So this would kind of come out of nowhere. It's not like either of these women have feuds. I mean, the feud with Mickie James was really bad. It basically just made Mickie look old and horrible. And when Alexa beat her, it was like, oh, wow, way to validate the fact that Mickie is just old and washed up. So it was like, I think a title change has to happen, but it's going to have to be one of those random hotshot title changes, because neither one of them have ongoing storylines. Carmella is the only storyline, and she's also a heel. Like, SmackDown is unusually heel heavy. Something's got to change. Like, maybe this match just gets canceled and they just both go into 5-on-5.
No, this is for overall in the Survivor Series, and especially I like Alexa, but I'm even getting a little bored of her being the champion. She's actually gone through the division probably twice over already. So I'm excited that she'll have a new opponent, but then again, it's Natty. It's nothing I'm excited about. So, like Roger said, I think when it comes to this match, I'm going to go get a drink, you know, use the restroom, walk around. Maybe I'll even get my chores list done during this match. I don't know.
Well, to your guys' points, you know, I think the 5-on-5 will probably be the more exciting match. Mm-hmm. Asuka will most likely be in there, especially with Nia Jax being out with her, you know, the issues she's having. And with that said, though, that the Raw women will have to win, because Asuka, you know, they need to book her as a monster. Asuka has never been lost, never been pinned, never submitted. And unless they're going to do a count out for her, which I think would be really stupid, she is going to have to win. I guess you could disqualify her, but, you know, it's a 5-on-5. Do you really want to do a disqualification? It's kind of
that's
like,
usually what they do. Rusev, Nia Jax. Yeah. I mean, like, they, I don't think Nia did, but usually the big Strowman was counted out last year when he chased Ellsworth. Like, I expect Asuka to probably just get counted out. Maybe they'll just do something where they, like, hold her out to that side and, like, she can't get back in or something stupid.
Yeah, and I hope they don't do that. I really do. But it's WWE, so you know they will. But right now, I mean, I would definitely pick the Raw women's to win. And, you know, I would have Natty probably over Alexa, I would guess, you know, and then that way you could potentially have the other women come up against Alexa and have her lose, you know, right before the Royal Rumble or something along those lines.
Yeah, this one I think is going to be a tough one to book. I think the 5-on-5 is going to be a lot easier, especially if Asuka is there in the 5-on-5, which I don't think they've even announced, because, you know, Alicia Fox is the captain, which I thing is messed up, but I think that will be the better match, because then you could actually tease things that you could do either at Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. I think that this is also a good this might be the starting point of them testing out how a Royal Rumble may look with, you know, 10 women that are going at each other in a tag match like this. So I think that there's a lot of steps that are happening here, and I think this is going to be one where they have to book it properly, and this match I will enjoy. But, you know, I guess the other thing that we really need to talk about is the Men's Survivor Series. I mean, it's 5-on-5, of course, just like it's traditional. But who's going to be the 5-on-5? Because you can't have, like, a main event going against a mid-carder or a curtain jerker. You have to book this properly, but also, shouldn't you have all main eventers in this match? So then it says something about it. What do you think about it, Aaron?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously Brock Lesnar can't be there, you know, so you got to get rid of all of your champions, you know, right away. And so what does that leave you with, you know? And on Raw, obviously there are a number of people you can have. Same thing with SmackDown. But that also means that on SmackDown, you know, AJ Styles, I can almost guarantee, will be in there. Randy Orton won a spot. You know, do you put Kevin Owens in there? Sami Zayn lost a spot, so does that mean Sami Zayn is not going to be a part of it? Do you throw New Day in there? In which case, you're starting to dilute the 5-on-5 match, because it's, you know, maybe like one main eventer and then four mid-carders, you know, or three mid-carders. And then, you don't make it as special as it could be. And that's the problem that they're going to have. And we're going to take a look at this. And I think back to WCW versus WWF when they did the, you know, five v five. And it was WCW was their, you know, mid-card talent and like maybe one main eventer versus everyone that was worth a damn in WWF. You know, you had Stone Cold, The Rock, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, Kane, Undertaker. You know, it was the people who were the people. And, you know, I think that they are running into a situation here where it's going to be a main eventer and the rest mid-carder. And I don't know if that's going to be as interesting. I hope that they make it interesting. If you have AJ and Finn on opposite teams, that'll be interesting. If you have people that have history, that'll make it interesting. You know, that will be the thing that will make it like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. But you have to have that history there. Otherwise, it's not going to be exciting.
That's the only thing that would be interesting, I think, in this five-on-five match would be AJ and Finn. And I would even love to see it to have the club be involved somehow, where it's Finn, the club, and you know, maybe a couple other people. But it's not going to be that. It's not going to be smart booking. It's not going to be anything. It's going to be I think the men's match will be a decent match, but I don't think you're going to see Kevin Owens in there. And I believe that Raw will win this one because it would be a good storyline purposes for Kevin Owens to say, well, you would have won if Sammy and I were on the team, but we weren't. So that means we're going to go without Survivor Series without seeing Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn there. And that makes me a little sad.
So there's so many things wrong with this match, though. I do think Sammy and Kevin will eventually get into this match. Purely based on, I think they're going to further that storyline of Brian and Shane disagreeing, and Shane's going to make the call that he sees no other way but to include those two. And of course, that angers Brian even further, kind of leading to that little divide between them. But this is a 5-on-5 match. This is literally the perfect time to have the Shield reunite. They should have been on the Raw side. They should have been the dominant force that came together to beat SmackDown and stop the invasion. You actually had something that would have made sense for them to team up. As opposed to the Bar, you know, if the Raw team is the Shield, the Miz, and Braun Strowman, that's a formidable match. Because here's the thing. I don't think you do all main eventers. I think you have to have some mid-carders in there because it's the time that you can actually put mid-carders in the main event without hurting the match, but also giving them exposure. If Ty Dillinger, let's say, scores a random pinfall victory over Dean Ambrose, that means something for Dillinger. Whereas if it's just all main eventers, well, then it's not that big of a deal. And the same thing on SmackDown and Raw. You have to get those guys in there so that you can bring them up. That's how Braun Strowman started to get noticed, is that, you know, that Survivor Series match last year, he looked like a monster. And you're like, oh, this guy can go against other main eventers. Same thing with guys, you know, like Bobby Roode right now. He's perfect to be in this type of match. You got to have some main eventers. You got to have some mid-carders. But if you're going to build this as the premier match, then why aren't the Shield in this match? Like, this isn't Night of Champions, like Doug said. Title for title should be Night of Champions. Let all the champions go at it then. This should be all about the Survivor Series matches, like last year. The tag matches, the women's match, the main event, men's match, and maybe you do Lesnar versus somebody. I don't know. But it's like, is this a Survivor Series match or is this a Night of Champions pay-per-view? Pick one and build around it. Don't do both.
Now, Roger, are you saying that they should have had SmackDown first attack Raw and then not like the following night, but basically tease it on Raw that the Shield is going to reunite, have them reunite on SmackDown and beat up a bunch of mid-carders?
No, what I would have had is I would have had SmackDown continually be the invading force. And I would have had them beat. So you have them beat down Raw 4 weeks in a row. And you have them beat down Strowman 1 week and you just destroy him. So Strowman's like, I don't need you guys. And then he tries to take on SmackDown by himself. He takes a beat down. You have Ambrose and Rollins try it. They take a beat down. You have everyone who's not Brock Lesnar on Raw catch a beat down at some point in time. And then finally the three of them look and go, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And then you let them invade SmackDown. And then you actually have a reason for the Survivor Series teams to put their differences aside and say, hey, I can't stand you, but Strowman, Shield, and The Miz are going to work together because we want to stop SmackDown. That would have actually made sense. That would have been a moment that you go, oh, this makes sense that these three guys who all had issues decide to come together for. And you could have still teased tension. I don't know why they just randomly all trust Rollins now. He still stabbed him in the back. I don't understand. It's all of this is like, you know, stop 3 month ruling and start doing long term planning with continuity.
So for the 5-on-5 match, just, you know, let's have some fun speculation here. We know that Randy Orton is going to be on their SmackDown side. For Raw, though, let's just assume that it'll be the Shield. So that's three members.
It can't. You have to add, they're in the tag match. They're versus the Usos.
They are.
Yeah, they can't be in this match.
So Roman Reigns then could, right?
Yes.
So Roman Reigns potentially could be. Let's say Finn Balor. I think Finn Balor is, don't want to say a lock, but I think that's a very high possibility. Obviously, you know, Miz isn't going to be there. Brock Lesnar isn't going to be there. I'm assuming they're building to Kane versus Strowman at that match or a different, you know, pay-per-view. So I'm going to take them out right away. So then you have Finn, Roman Reigns, probably maybe the club, I guess you could say, could be in there.
It won't be the club. No, so, I can tell you who's going to
That would be smart booking. They're not going to involve the club whatsoever.
So
Jason Jordan will be in this match.
I thought that too. And Kurt Angle.
No, I don't think Kurt Angle will be in.
You don't think Kurt's in there?
No. I think Jason Jordan gets the nepotism spot. And I think that's going to be the point that people bring up that he is a rookie. They're going to say that he, and then they're going to make him look good by beating some main eventer on SmackDown. Like, oh, see, he earned his spot, quote unquote.
So then what, the bar?
Ooh, no. Because
they don't have a match.
Bar will come out with The Miz for somehow.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they're going to be in this match.
I don't think so either.
Then Matt Hardy? Like Bray Wyatt, like, you know, that's, you don't have a whole lot of options. And that's why, and like, I understand your point, Roger. Obviously, you know, you do want to have a couple of main eventers or, you know, mid-carders in there with the main eventers. But, you know, if like at this point in time, you're getting like not even just mid-card, you're getting like lower mid-card, you know?
When's
like,
Samoa Joe due back?
He's a possibility. I thought about him too, but they also may keep him out for like kind of that surprise, you know, return. For like a Royal Rumble, for example.
Well, he's the perfect type of guy to say, like, and who's the fifth man? And then his music hits, and that's a big, like, oh, you know, the Destroyer is back. Exactly. You get the dancing, and you get a guy who legitimately choked out Brock Lesnar. So, you know, maybe he's the fifth guy. I don't know. It's just a possibility.
So on SmackDown, Randy Orton is a guaranteed. You know, we have AJ as a possibility. KO and Sammy is another one. I'm guessing the New Day is a part of it. That's just a guess on my part. I think that they will, you know, even if it's only two of them, I think that they'll be involved in this match. But I'm not sure who else. I mean, Bobby Roode would be another really good one.
I think Bobby Roode is a lock.
I think Bobby Roode's going to be a lock.
It'll be
him versus Ziggler. I think Nakamura will be in there too.
Yeah,
really, and Nakamura is facing Owens, right? Winner gets a spot.
Yep. Yeah. And that's why I think KO will not get the spot. It'll be Nakamura and KO. And Sammy, if they get involved, it's going to be on the side. It's not going to be anything that in the actual match itself. They might interfere, but probably for Team Raw.
So do you guys, it would be safe to say that Orton, AJ, Nakamura right now would be locks.
And yes.
Bobby Roode would be the fourth. So would the fifth go to Shane, or do we think there's an actual wrestler there?
Baron Corbin's a possibility. I don't know if they're still doing
it. No, because Baron's fighting.
Did they announce Miz. That? Well, but if let's say that is Miz US title, the same issue.
It's Miz versus, or it's US versus the Intercontinental title. Let's go with that. Who they are when it comes to Survivor Series, we don't know.
I think Corbin loses that title. I don't think he makes it to Survivor Series in that match because Miz versus Corbin gets no heat and has
no. It's also another heel versus heel.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas, let's say Ty Dillinger makes the massive upset, Miz versus Dillinger is interesting.
Yes.
Yes.
Or Miz versus Zack Ryder. Because
that's if it was Miz versus Dillinger, that is your big time. You know, you have a story there because you have Miz just belittle Ty Dillinger, like, oh, look at who they're throwing at me this time. Another throwaway thing, kind of like that. But I mean, it's the same thing as Brock Lesnar. So maybe they won't do that because it's the storyline they're going with that.
But I mean, he could do a third thing like what is like you're the perfect 10 because it took you 10 years from development to get to the main roster. Like he can really slam him.
Oh, no. I think it would be a good program. I think it would be a great program between those two. You have the I won't say the ultimate underdog because that's Sami Zayn. But you have the underdog. You have the braggy champion, it would be a good match.
I think
Corbin ends up in the Survivor Series match is really the long version, the short version of that long story. I think he would be in there.
Rusev. He'd be the other one.
Oh,
actually.
Rusev, yeah.
I think Rusev and English are going to be in a program with New Day. So I don't think any of those five end up being in the Survivor Series match.
Well, we'll see. And Survivor Series, you know, is next month. And so, you know, that's what, 4 weeks away from when we're taping this. I'm actually a little excited for it. I'm not as excited as I was maybe for like SummerSlam, but I think it has the capability of being a good pay-per-view. With that said, that means it won't be.
Right. Hey, is Survivor Series going to be a 4-hour pay-per-view?
I hope not.
Yes.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Because they are doing the NXT, which is the War Games, which I'm actually interested in.
I was going to say, anyone think Survivor Series has a chance to exceed War Games? No, because I'm really excited to see War Games for the first time in like 20 years, it feels like.
Now, I'm excited, but I'm disappointed that we don't see any cruiserweights that are in the match, because I still remember Mysterio and Kidman going at it, and they used all three rings, but it wasn't War Games, it was 1-4-3.
Oh.
But still, they could do something like that, and I wish that they would somehow add that match in there. But overall, I'm actually more excited about seeing two NXT rings in the arena. It just stinks that they're not going to be able to fill it because they have to take out X amount of seats because of that. But I'm really looking forward to that the night before.
Okay, so we don't talk about NXT a lot. Is anyone else thinking Roddy Strong heel turn?
Possibility.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you remember the War Games matches with the Horsemen, there was usually some sort of swerve. Mm-hmm. And he fits the, like, I'm bitter and frustrated after all the losses. Root is gone now. I'm going to join the Undisputed Era. What a better way than to take out Sanity and AOP, where it basically becomes 4-on-4, which is a standard War Games match as opposed to this weird triple threat format. Like, it has all the classic trappings of this is going to be a heel turn. All right. And he fits the Ring of Honor profile that the Undisputed Era all have.
What if I wouldn't be surprised if he teases it for a little bit and then he does it like towards like the end of the match. That wouldn't surprise me. But I'm more shocked that they brought this back, but I'm also super excited. This will I think this will exceed our expectations. I think that you will see something like a Roddy Strong heel turn, because I mean they've put it there and they're like, come on. Figure it out. So I'm really excited for NXT, and it was the night before, which is I think it's November 16th, and Survivor Series is on the 17th. It's on the 18th of November.
It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
So it's November 19th is Survivor Series, and November 18th is NXT. So I am pumped about that. I cannot wait. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave, Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.